So Beth Koblenner joins us, takeaway contributor and appointee to the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability. And I always say congratulations when I mention that little bit of your resume there.
Thank you. It sounds particularly good with the pomp and circumstance in the background.
Indeed. Yes, that's right. That's great. Our Director Jay, of course, responsible for that. Now, our listeners can call 8778-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org with more questions about how to afford college, et cetera. And we're going to present some of those. Remind me, though, I guess I'm getting too old to remember the day I opened my college acceptance or rejection letter. Is it the thick one that's the acceptance or the thin one that's the acceptance?
The thick one's the good one. To this day, when I get a thin envelope, my heart starts to palpitate. And I've been through college for many, many years ago. But it's true. The thick one is with all the information that when you get in, that's the good news.
Well, all week long, we've been taking a look at issues of financing college and options for going to college in an environment where college hasn't been this expensive in generations.
Ever.
It's more expensive than ever. It's also in the middle of an economy where that kind of an investment is questionable for a whole lot of reasons. And the sort of utility of college itself is under question, even by academics who are taking a look at colleges and universities in both the private and public sector in the United States. So there are lots of questions. And here's one of our listeners to start it off.
This is Maggie from Oklahoma, and I was just accepted to graduate school across the country, and I'm working my way through school, no help from my parents, and I'm worried about graduating with too much debt. I'm wondering if I can bargain with my future school for more financial aid than what they offer me and how I go about doing that.
Negotiate, negotiate, negotiate.
Absolutely. Consider that money you're getting a first offer. The first thing I would say, though, for anyone who's going to grad school is make sure to look into the Grad Plus Loan, which is a great program. It's relatively new. It was introduced a few years ago. It's the government loan program. And I meet so many grad students who get private loans without realizing that's the lower rate loan. But number one, when you get that packet and you get accepted, is negotiate. Call them. Be nice and polite. Don't be, you know, because they have a lot of people for every one spot. Remember that. In many colleges, that's the case. But say, look, you know, I have another offer from another school. And if you have a particular one, give them the specifics. But look at it as a first offer to start the negotiation.
Now, there's no money down on a school loan, right? It's a very simple transaction. There's no sort of closing or costs that you can negotiate there. But what about interest rates? What's a typical student loan interest rate, and can you actually negotiate that downward?
Right. Well, typically not. The most important thing is for people to fill out the FAFSA form. It's the federal form to get federal aid. And a lot of people, unfortunately, don't know that, and they go right away. You think, loan, I'll go to the bank. But you have to get that federal aid by filling out these forms, and that's the lowest interest rate right now. It's about 7% on the Stafford loans, depending upon when you take the loan out. There are lower rate loans like Perkins loans, but get those federal loans that have the lower interest rates rather than private loans, which are much higher.
So start with – a lot of people start with, I want to go and get the loan so that I have the money. And that's the priority. You say actually start with maybe the more difficult lower interest rate loans, because in the long run, that's going to pan out.
You have to fill out those forms. They're a nightmare. They look like a nightmare. They're overwhelming, but fill out those forms. That's where all the aid comes from.
All right, here's another question.
This is Angela calling from Detroit. I have three children. My oldest son has his bachelor's degree, and we incurred a lot of student debt, my son and I both. And now he's laid off with all these loans that he has to pay back. I had to file bankruptcy. And we both still owe loans. Although he's been laid off numerous times and he pays a little, he was now told that whenever he gets a job, he will be garnished. So I guess my question is, I have two other children, and there's no way I can afford to do anything for them to go to school because I am bankrupt, wondering what is available from my other two children.
Now, if that isn't an argument for really soberly questioning the investment of a college education, I can't imagine anything more persuasive. I mean, the predicament of it, Angela, she financed one child,
right,
became bankrupt as a result of that, and now she still has two other children, and her child with the bachelor's degree is not finding work.
Right. Well, unfortunately, what he didn't do, and the problem is there's not a lot of information about this, is if you have student loans and you can't get a job, which so many people are in that predicament, call the lender, whether it's Sallie Mae, whether it's a bank, and say, I cannot make these loans. And if they're federal loans, by law, you're allowed to get a break on those payments. You can defer those payments, so make sure to do that. Also, there's a new payment program, relatively new. It's called income-based repayment. If you have a very low-paying job right now, then you can pay a percentage of your income. There are all kinds of programs, but the government doesn't let people know about them. So there's a great website, fineaid.org. Look at it. We're going to talk about it on the website, the Takeaway website, with a lot of information. You have to pay attention to those. But in her situation, she has to focus on herself. She has to start, you know, digging herself out of her debt situation. She's declared bankruptcy, starting anew, saving for herself. She has a long way till retirement, and her kids are going to have to take out loans, and her kids are also going to make good decisions about going to maybe lower-cost schools that they don't have to take out as much in loans.
Two-year community colleges,
exactly.
For instance. We've talked about that this week. All right, here's Sharika, who's a listener. I have a 12-year-old son. Other than scholarships, what are some tips to send my child to college debt-free?
I don't know if it's possible. I hate to say that, but I think that's just not a reality. And again, I think she has to focus on herself. Parents are feeling like, if I have young children, 12 years old, 10 years old, how am I ever going to afford that? And what they have to do is save for themselves. Save for, that sounds crazy. How do you save for college? Save for yourself as a parent in a retirement account, in a 401k or an IRA first, because that money, first of all, is not going to be tapped by the colleges in many cases. So that money is safe for you. And you can't borrow for retirement, but you can borrow for college. And though, while it's expensive, your kids are ultimately the ones who are going to have to pay for it.
And but you are saying, I mean, the headline there is, if you've waited until 12 years old, it's too late to really start a college fund.
Right. It's late to start a college fund. But I think even when you're starting, when your kids are very young, it's a very, very expensive long-term prospect. College costs have been rising much faster than inflation for decades. So we are in a very difficult situation for parents. You have to save. Don't put money in your kids' name. Put money in your own name. Colleges, we talked about that earlier, expect you to put more of the money in your kids' name toward the college. There are all kinds of, there are a couple of good books. We talk about them on the website too. But you have to get educated about this now.
All right. Julia from Michigan says, I have friends in their early 40s who still have 5 to 6 figure debts in student loans. I made working and going to school a way of life, but it took me a lot longer to graduate. Is it smarter to take more time to get through school and work, or take out loans and graduate in 4 years?
I mean, congratulations to her. When I heard her question, I thought, good for her. But I think that's very rare. And one problem is, if you go into school with the idea, I'm going to just go in part-time and work part-time, you could lose momentum. Right now, 50% of people who enter college take more than 6 years to get through. So I think it's a very tough situation. But I would say you got to take on those loans, but make smart choices about the college, and don't get into a school that will put you so deep into debt that you won't be able to pay it back.
But it is a matter of thinking flexibly about this. If,
yes.
If you get out of the box of 4 years and get out of the box of taking the first loan that comes along, there's a lot of flexibility, and that's really the lesson.
A lot of flexibility. And there's IBR, income-based repayment plans. I can't say this enough. People who have a lot of loans now, look into that program, because it's fantastic.
Beth Koblenzer, Takeaway contributor and appointee to the President's Advisory Council on Financial Capability. With pomp and circumstance, we end our collegiate series this week. Thanks so much, Beth.
Thank you.
Beth has more tips of financing a college education at thetakeaway.org/blog. Catch up on any part of the series, just go to our website, thetakeaway.org. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste Headley is on assignment. She'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. This is The Takeaway.